start again by thanking Rabbi Weisskopf for arranging this. Today's topic is swordfish. Swordfish, I can already give you the spoiler alert over here that the swordfish are going to live another day because we're not going to get to eat them. But it's not so simple. In the last 100 years, the world from Yidden who ate swordfish. So it's definitely what to discuss. So the pasuk says in Parsha Shmini that you can eat kol asher lo snapeh v'kaskeses. That any fish which has a snapeh and kaskeses you can eat. So Rashi already writes there. Snapeh is elu sheshot b'hen. They are the fins. And kaskeses elu klipin like ruin body. These are the klipin, the scales. Kemoshenema b'sirin kaskasim u'lavush. That the pasuk talks about a coat of armor. It calls it kaskasim, like chainmail has little they look like scales, and fish also have the same thing. So this is what Rashi says on the Rashi and Chumash, which is based on the Gemara and Chulin. The Gemara and Chulin says this. The Gemara and Chulin says that the kaskasim are the scales, and the Gemara references this pasuk. It's in Chulin Samach Vav. The pasuk references the pasuk v'sirin et kaskasim hu lavush. So the Gemara says that the Gemara says v'mayte kaskeses lavushahu. How do you know? Again, how do you know that kaskeses is the lavush? How do you know that those are the scales? Tichsiv v'sirin kaskeses hu. So just the Gemara called it the lavush, which we're going to come back to. But that's the lashon of the Gemara. And again, Rashi said. Rashi says v'sirin kaskeses hu lavush, but the Gemara says it even more clearly. The Gemara says the memayte kaskeses lavushahu, that it's called the lavush. But anyway, it's the scales. Then the Gemara continues that anything which has it was the lashon of the Gemara there. I'm sorry. The Gemara says that kol sheyesh lo kaskeses sheyesh lo snapeh. That anything which has scales also has fins, not necessarily the other way around, but anything which has scales has fins. So the Gemara says, so just tell me scales. The apostle could have just said that. So the Gemara says, Leina Chanami, Yadil Tarovi Yadil. Really, the Gemara could have just told us that the one siman, it could have told us the siman of scales, but Yadil Tarovi Yadil, the apostle wants to make it abundantly clear what that, you can't make it, there shouldn't be any person who might mistakenly think that kaskeses means fins. So the Torah says, no, kaskeses, kasnepes, snapeh, even if you're not an expert in words, you know one's fins, one's scales, you know a fish needs them both. So so this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara also says a couple of other things. The Gemara says that if a fish is born without scales, that as it matures, it gets scales, that's good. That's fine enough. That's also fine. Ein lo akshav osid lagadel achazman is kosher. It doesn't have to be born with the scales. The other way around, it has scales, but as it comes out of the water, the scales slide off. That's also good. That yesh lo akshav osid lashir b'shal sha'olim in amayim. It has, and they're going to, by the time they get to the consumer, they're going to be, by the time they get out of the water, they're not going to be there anymore. That's also good, as long as it has them. So that's the Gemara. So the Ramban in Chumash says a Chiddush. This is on page 5 in the book. The Ramban in Chumash says a Chiddush. The Ramban says like this. He says that the Gemara calls kaskeses a lavush. And the Gemara says the kaskeses is that which is kavua, it's attached to the Rashi said again, kaskeses elu klipin akavuin bo. They're kavua, they're attached. So the Ramban says like this. When it says they're attached, they're kavuin, what Rashi is trying to get at is that they're more kavua than the fins, because the fins move around. That's how a fish moves. That's how a fish swims. That it flaps its fins around. The scales don't move. But, the Ramban says, it doesn't mean that the scales are kavua, that they are the skin of the animal. It's not like the skin of a person. It's not like the skin which is kavua that you can't take it off. If the Gemara calls it a lavush, that means that it's on top of the skin. that means it's something which can be removed and you still have a skin underneath it. So this is the Ramban's big chiddush, that the Ramban says over here that it has to be that the Targum is translated as clipping. Clipping is like the clipper of a pre, it's like something which peels off, that you can peel it away. So too, this is the Ramban's chiddush. The Ramban says that kol shukavua dovuk v'ora dag ve'enu nedam in a klal, if you can't get it off, enu kaskeses. It's not a kaskeses, a bal of osahu in its treif. It's got to be, and that's why that's what the Gemara is trying to say when the Gemara calls it a levush, means it's something on top of the skin, just like clothes are on top of the skin. So, but if it's something which you can't peel off, you can't peel the scales off the skin, it's then it's if it's part of the skin, it's not a kosher fish. This is the Ramban's chiddush. So the question is, do the other Rishonim agree to this chiddush, or do they not agree to this chiddush? So, not so clear, but on page 6 over here, the Rambam says, Kasker says, who had vulka b'chol gufoy. So the Magid Mishnah there says that the Rambam is exact in his choice of words, had vulka b'chol gufoy. The Magid Mishnah says, he's alluding to what the Ramban says. That it's not part of the goof, it's dvuka to the goof. That means the fish has a goof, it has a skin, there's a fish there, and there's something which is dovuk, which is stuck on top, which you can take off. So therefore the Magid Mishnah says that this is the way he understands the Rambam, even though the Rambam doesn't say beferish, but he understands that the Rambam's choice of words, hadvuka b'chol gufoy, is coming to imply what the Ramban says, that the scales have to be removable. So this Ramban, and it is paskind, the Ramah brings it in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says, in Hilchos Dogim, in Yerudaya, then the Mechaber says that it has to have scales. And the Ramah says that, V'davka shehim niknofim biyad. They have to be removable, biyad or b'kli. Either you can peel them with your hand, or you can take a kli, a knife, and scrape them off. It's got to be that the removal of biyado b'kli avol im ef shelakol from the ur hadag lo mikri kaskeses. But if you can't peel it off the skin, then it's not a kaskeses. It doesn't have to be peeled mamish by hand. You can use a kli too. It could be it needs a knife to scrape the scales off. But they have to come off. That it's peelable. You can peel the scales away. That's what's called scales. And again, if it's part of the skin, it's not a kosher fish. So, that's what the Ramah says. So the Pesachei Tshuva over there brings a tshuva from the Noda Yehuda. Somebody sent a fish in the mail to the Noda Yehuda. So it wasn't because he said a bad share or something. They wanted to know whether it was kosher. So they sent this fish. They sent this fish to the Noda Yehuda. And they wanted to know, is this fish kosher or not? So the Noda Yehuda writes, in the Pesachei Tshuva quotes it, that that he took this fish, and he couldn't get the scales off, but then he soaked it in mei ofar shekorin lug. It sounds like, if I understand correctly, like lye or some kind of alkali or something, some kind of strong chemical, that he soaked it in, and he left it there for a few hours, kamo gimel shoyis. And after 3 hours of soaking in this chemical solution, he was able to peel it. So again, not something which you can peel very easily, but if you put it in the alkali and you let it sit there, then eventually after a few hours, he was able to peel it. And he said, that's good enough for him. The Lord would have said, at the end of the day, it came off. Doesn't matter, it's hard to get off, it's easy to get off. It's not part of the skin. I got it off and the skin underneath, so I'm good. That's the way the Noda Yehuda looked at it. It doesn't matter whether it's hard or easy. As long as I can prove to you that it's possible to get it off, and it's not the skin itself, it's something other than the skin, so then that's good. It doesn't matter whether, even if it's hard. So this is what he brings. So then the Pesachei Tshuva continues and says the Noda Yehuda got pushed back. The other said, no, it doesn't work like that. That the Ramah says you have to be able to remove it. The yards of a kli sounds like it should come off right away. Not you have to go and put it in do a whole chemistry over here. So they don't like it.
So what if it was a dry dead fish? That's very different than a fish that you fish out of the water 2 hours later.
Okay, I mean, I don't think the guy was able to schlep the Nebi Yehuda down to the sea. Right. You know, so
when it gets hard and old, it's much harder to get the scales off.
Okay, that might be true. That might well be true. But the point is that that might be true. It might be easier. But the Nebi Yehuda doesn't matter. Even if it was always as hard as this to get the scales off, he's still fine. He's still fine with it. You know, he doesn't. So the Nebi Yehuda got pushed back. So the Pesachet Shuvah says that the Nebi Yehuda's son, Shmuel Landau, who was a very choshev posik in his own right to the Shuvah Shiva Sion, he wrote a response to the people who complained, and he argued lengthily to defend his father, and the Pesachet Shuvah finishes off. He says that even those who are not happy with the Nebi Yehuda, Efsha. Ilu ro divri hagon rarash the Shmuel Hanal lawyer Kosef Kain. Maybe if they would have seen the response, they'd be happy. Which seems to me, it seems at least to my understanding, it seems like the Pesachet Shuvah basically saying that I'm ready to go with this heta, even though people complained about it. But the Nebi Yehuda's son had an adequate response, and it's a good response. And if they would have seen the response, they might have accepted it. So therefore, he's ready to go with this heta. So the tshuva itself of the Nebi Yehuda, which is on page 8 over here, it's a very short tshuva. It's not a long tshuva. This tshuva over here, and again, people complained about it. He makes 2 points to the Nebi Yehuda. Why does he feel it's good enough, even if it's hard to get up? So he makes 2 points. The first point the Nebi Yehuda makes is that it doesn't. Mabekach, sof Sirion, again, Kaskasim, who cares? That's the first argument. Again, then it comes off, it's hard to get off. But as long as I can prove to you it's not the skin, so then it's something, it's a lavush, it's on top of the skin, that's good. And then he continues, the Nebi Yehuda says like this, and he says an interesting thing. He says, I don't really understand the Ramban. He says, you're saying that the Pasuk uses the word lavush, the Gemara uses the word lavush. So lavush means it has to be on top of the skin. The Nebi Yehuda says, you know, the Pasuk says, Ora Bosa Til Besheni. The Pasuk called, there's a Pasuk which calls a person's skin the levush of his inside. Ora Bosa, you Hashem, you put Or over my Bosa Tal Besheni. You malbish my Bosa with Or. The skin itself is called in the Torah the levush of the body. So the fact that the Gemara says, how do you know Kaskasim of the levush? That doesn't necessarily mean that they're on top of the skin. That could mean they are the skin. It just means they're not the fins. The fins is not the skin. The fins is a is a structure. These on the outside, they're the outside of the fish, they're the lavush. So therefore, I don't even know. And you know, and this thing the Ramban's saying, it doesn't say it in the Bavli, it doesn't say it in Rishalmi, like, you know, Chazal never said this. Chazal never talks about how hard it is to get up, that it has to be able to get up. Then the Rambam just made this up out of based on this diuk, which I don't even hear the diuk so much, just because the Gemara calls it the Lavush. So therefore, the Nebi Yehuda says that if it wasn't for the fact that the Rambam said it, I would never have accepted it. But he says, but what can I do? The Rambam says it. The Rambam says it. But at least I don't have to go more than the bare minimum. Right, he's skeptical, basically saying that the whole Ramban is a massive kiddush. So therefore, you know, I'm not going to be. So therefore, as long as I can get it off and I can fulfill the Ramban's criteria in some way, I'm happy, because the whole idea is a kiddush. He says, that's his argument that il mali adam. If it wasn't for the fact that it was the Ramban, I would have disagreed. Okay, I can't disagree with the Ramban, but I don't want to be so machmeh. So as long as it comes off, that's good enough. So this is the Nebi Yehuda's argument, which is an interesting argument. This machlokus, even though he says he can't really argue, but lemaisa in the longest at least, there's this argument between the Ramban and the Nebi Yehuda. How to understand what is it? What are our kaskasim that the Ramban says that they're on top of the skin? The Nebi Yehuda says, I would never have thought that. I would have thought that they're part of the skin. That's good enough. But lemaisa, the Ramban says it, so he's not going to argue. But you know, it's been more machmir than the bare minimum. So as long as I can get them off, I'm happy. So this is what the Nebi Yehuda says. So this Nebi Yehuda, this is one of the there was a lot of pushback to this Noda Behuda. This was one of the more controversial Noda Behudas, that that Avi Gadolim were very unhappy with this tshuva. And the Daki Tshuva quotes some of them. The Daki Tshuva brings that the Mordechai Benet writes the tshuva. He writes, even though I generally don't get involved in public debates, but I have to be yotzei megedrei. We have to go out of my way to lafrushe meisura because people are eating treif over here because there's this fish which is a treif fish and people are eating it. The Mordechai Benet is a pretty strongly worded tshuva that he's not at all happy with this etzah. The Ksav Sofa has a tshuva where he's also not at all happy with it. They're all saying, you know, the Ramban says it has to peel. Peel means peel. You put in chemicals. Chemicals can do anything. If you have enough chemicals, you can do anything. But you know that's not what the Ramban means. And it's a chashash of nisa deraisa. If you're eating, you could be eating frayed fish. Chas v'shalom. So it's a chashash of nisa deraisa, and you'll be mumpsy your own new heterin, which is not the posh of shatz. You know, how can you do that? So therefore, they were quite adamantly opposed to this etta. But at the end of the day, there is this machlokus, which is important to us. There is this machlokus. It's not clear how you define scales. There is this debate over here. The Ramban, the Noda Behuda says it's good enough as long as they could come off in some way. And with Mordechai Benet, Ksav Sofa, they're saying no, it has to be that they're really peelable. So this is this machlokus. Okay.
Any person who support the
Noda Behuda? Yeah, his son.
There are others who agree,
the people on both sides. So then there's another Daki Tshuva there where he brings the following, so we'll come back to that, but there's another Daki Tshuva there where he brings from the Knesset HaGadola that the Knesset HaGadola says Minik Pasha Tu B'chol Yisrael Lechol dag bal hacherev. It's a minig in Klal Yisrael to eat the fish bal hacherev, which has the sword. Okay, so there's the fish which has the sword, hanikra balaz fushi uspada, which, if I understand correctly, fushi is fish, and uspada is Spanish for sword. So it's a swordfish. So therefore, the minig is to eat the dag bal hacherev, the swordfish. That's what he says. Even though it doesn't have any scales, how could it be that we eat it? The answer is that in the water it has scales. Again, the Gemara says that if it has scales in the water, it doesn't matter. If we take it out, it doesn't have scales. So what? In the water it has scales, so therefore you can eat it. and he says that he brings there that there was a guy who didn't believe it. And Mori Virebi, in the actual Knesset HaGadola, says Mori Zikni, his grandfather went and he took he took an armor size of dark cloth, and he put it in the trap. And then when the fish got trapped, they took a saw that when they opened it up, they found there were scales in this in the cloth. So that as it gets pulled out of the water, again, the way that it sounds like is that the fish resists. It resists getting caught. And in the fight, this is what he says, the Loshen is, he says, that because the fish gets angry, it's machshleches kaskaseha. It throws off its scales. In other words, it fights back. It doesn't want to get trapped. And in the fight, in the resistance, the scales come off. But the proof is, I did this. He did this experiment over here. He put the cloth around the trap, and even though there was no scales on the fish, but there were scales in the cloth. So therefore, the Knesset HaGadola says that the swordfish is kosher. So, many people can quote this this Knesset HaGadola. In 1933, the Agudas HaRabbonim put out a list of fish, and among the list of kosher fish was the swordfish. So the Agudas HaRabbonim was at that time, Rav Lazer Silver was the president, the Agudas HaRabbonim of America and Canada, like he used to say. So it was listed as a kosher fish. So already in 1933, it was still considered in America to be a kosher fish. In the 1950s, though, you and others, they asked Moshe David Tendler to investigate it. He was he had a PhD in biology. This was something that they felt that he could he had the scientific know-how to investigate it. And he decided that this fish does not have kosher scales, and it's treif. And there's this amazing thing that even though we had this Knesset Gdola and it seems that it was universally, you know, was listed among the list of kosher fish, he started this crusade, that this campaign that he held, it's treif, and he publicized it in the Torah journals of those years. There were a few of these different Torah journals, and it crops up that there's articles from him. You know, he spread it around, they spread the word around. He tried hard. The one which is most famous, again over here, it's page 10, 11, 12, is that the Jewish Observer, this one was in English, so the public at large saw it. You know, the Jewish Observer from 1968, he wrote this, the halachic status of swordfish, he wrote this article over here. And this was the one which actually made it, this was the most famous article of all. So it's been a while since we've seen the Jewish Observer, you know. But this was the most famous article. And he argues strongly, he says that it's not clear if it has scales at all. It only has scales when it's a little baby. As soon as it grows, it loses its scales. And it's not likely that that's what the Knesset Agdola was referring to, because you don't hunt them, you don't trap them when they're little babies. You trap swordfish when they're big. And when they're big, number one, they really don't have any scales. And number two, a beggar of one amma is not going to do the trick to wrap around an adult swordfish. So therefore, he's talking about some smaller other fish. You know, there are a number of fishes which have things which stick out of their front. It could be, you know, so we don't really know what fish he's referring to. It doesn't sound like he's referring to the swordfish. It's not true that it has scales, and as it gets caught in the fight, the scales come off. That doesn't happen at all with the swordfish. So therefore, he says, it doesn't seem like that's what the Knesset Gdola is talking about. And again, it only has scales when it's little. And those scales, they're not like regular scales. Again, this gets into the question of exactly what's called a scale. But again, we generally don't rely on the Nod Yehuda, you know, and it's not at all clear these scales, you know, that they, it's not clear what exactly how these scales come off. And so, you can read through it in English, but they're different kinds of scales. And he doesn't think that it's a kosher fish. So this is his Right. These are not like the way he explains it. They're just like little protrusions from the skin of the animal. They're not like regular scales, which we're used to, on the surface. then he continues arguing on page 1415 over here. There's just one of the articles is from the Paradis Torah Journal is one of the articles where he writes over here. So this article in Haparadis over here is responding to Rav Unterman. Rav Unterman was the chief rabbi of Israel at the time, and he still said that the swordfish is a kosher fish based on the Knesset Agdola. So therefore he disagreed. So there was an actual serious debate over here. That Rav Unterman, who was the chief rabbi of Israel, said that swordfish is kosher. And Rav Moshe Tendler disagreed, and they pulled it out. They disagreed. The Maisa, what happened was like this, an interesting thing, that if you look back on Rav Moshe Tendler's article, the second paragraph, he says, recently, the conservative rabbinical assembly declared swordfish to be a kosher fish, that the conservative rabbis decided that swordfish was kosher. So it's hard for us to imagine this, but like in those days, evidently, again, I'm just, you know, a little bit before my time, but in those days, that was like a serious, the conservative claimed that they kept halacha, and there were people who were in between, from conservative, and there was a real debate going on, you know, between these, and the conservative said it was kosher, and he's all upset about that. So it happens to be, I don't know if this obviously wasn't planned, but it happens to be that he was remarkably successful nowadays. If you ask anyone, is swordfish kosher, we'd all say no, for sure not, you know, like, you know, no one, but, you know, he was remarkably successful, because this is what he did. In this article, he wrote this article, it's the halakhic status of swordfish, a tshuva with an epilogue. So I didn't quote the epilogue over here. The epilogue is a long diatribe against the conservative movement. That are their children going to be Orthodox? Are their fifth generation of Orthodox? How about their 50th generation? You know, like, what's going to be? You know, like, so he has, and now they started this new thing that they at least normally used to keep a locker. Now they're saying swordfish is kosher. He says this is not going to be a new dividing line. He says this is the new mechitza. the new machitza between the Jew, the frum, and the conservative. And those are the days when that was the machitza. Is the new machitza swordfish. So what happens after this is like, he's saying, this is the machitza. If you're a frum and you read the Jewish Observer, it's treif. That if you say that the swordfish is kosher, you're a conservative. You're basically, that's basically the way. This is the mechitza. So this is, after that, he was able to, which rabbi is going to get up there and say, yeah, I'm with the conservative movement. You know, so therefore he was remarkably successful because of this. That, you know, no one was interested in joining the debate anymore because no one's interested in fighting for the conservative movement's viewpoint. So that's really why he was remarkably successful, that it became like a moot point, and no one even has a half of it in that scholarship. But
So when did Rabbanut change your mind?
No one accepts it.
But when did they change?
In the 50s and 60s, at that time. He worked very hard on this in the 50s and 60s. The 60s really. This was 68. This is 68, and he's still writing this, like trying to argue that this was still a fight.
There's only one swordfish.
Okay, so that's the last. So on page 14 over here, so Rav Tendler's got the problem that Rav Tendler has is like, what's he going to do with his Knesset Gdola? If Knesset Gdola says the swordfish is mutter, so he doesn't think so, but you can start talking Knesset Gdola. So in the piece on page 14, he says maybe the Knesset Gdola wasn't talking about the swordfish, maybe he's talking about the sailfish. The sailfish is also a similar kind of fish, which also has something sticking out. Instead of a sword, it has a sail, but you could sail, sword, whatever, something sticking out, and that's what he's talking about. And that one, yes, and that feels that sounds much more like what he's talking about. And he was never talking about the swordfish at all. This is his thesis, which is pretty unlikely, because the swordfish, he said that the minig is that in all Chal Yisrael eat it. The swordfish is a fish that they catch and they sell commercially. The sailfish is like you put it in aquariums. It's not really something which is sold to eat. But but that was his argument. So interestingly, on page 15 and 16 of those images, there's a tshuva from the Tzitzilieza that Tzitzilieza was asked about the swordfish. And the Tzitzilieza says, well, how do you know the Knesset Gdol is talking about the swordfish? Maybe he's talking about the sailfish. Like, when did the Tzitzilieza become such an expert that he knows about swordfish and sailfish? Obviously, he's been reading, Moshe. You see how successful Moshe Tendler was, that he already, that his arguments already became so widespread that already, as soon as the Tzitzilieza is asked about it, he's like, no, it's not the swordfish, it's the sailfish, which was all made up by Moshe David Tendler, this whole. And he doesn't quote him anything, he just says, he just writes it like that, Like we all know this, but so you see the Tzitzilieza already by that time already it became even in Eretz Yisrael, even the Rav Huntsman tried to that fell by the wayside as well, and therefore the Meister, he was really successful. It was really like a one man campaign almost, and he was really successful. And again, through Hashgacha, whatever it is, the way it finished up being framed by him as, this is the mechitza between us and the conservatives, so then that kind of put the matter to rest, and everyone was on the side of the front. What? It sounds like it was commercially available. I mean, from the way they're writing, it sounds like it was on the market. I mean, the conservative people were muttering for a reason. They served it. I don't know how common, but it was common enough that it was a big fight. So okay, so that's it for swordfish. Okay, the one thing about fish, just to finish up over here, the one thing about fish, the other things we talked about birds, we talked about animals, by them, Masorah was a big issue. By fish, it's interesting, the fish, do they have scales? You don't need the Masorah, you could look at fish. So Masorah, this is the one of the species where Masorah does not seem to play a role. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, I want to talk about grasshoppers, where Masorah does play a very major role, and there's this big question, which is, we know, even to this day, the Yemenites who eat grasshoppers, how does it work when one place in the world has a Masorah? Can the rest of the world rely on this Masorah? Can they not? Even though the question is discussed, there, but it applies to animals, to birds as well, and it's a universal question that can one place rely on another place's Masorah? Mitzvah Hashem, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
What about the sturgeon?
That's also the scales don't come up in a regular way. So that's also part of the